Tzeitze is a parsha that has more mitzvahs than any other parsha b'chol haTorah kula. There are only 110 psukim in Ki Tzeitze, but there are 74 mitzvos. 74 mitzvos in 110 psukim. So obviously there's so much to talk about tonight, but what I want to talk about tonight are ideas from the Rav Chumash. Oh, you put out this beautiful series, Misoros HaRav, the Chumashim with insights of Rav Soloveitchik, taken from Shiurim and Drashos in print and the speeches that he's given over the decades, and they just finished it. They were Misayim Chumash Devarim a couple of weeks ago. And I managed to get my hands on one of them. And it's fascinating because in a parsha with so many mitzvahs, you see major themes in the thought of the Rav and speeches that he was giving in the 50s, late 50s, 60s, and early 70s. And you see some really striking themes. And one of the themes that comes out from Parshas Ki Tzeitze, when you look at the ideas of the Rav, is a very, very appropriate idea. You know, it's like... The Rav was a little bit ahead of his time, but this is Vayam Neim Zman Hazeh. What's going on now was going on then also, but there were different labels to the different groups. But Rav Soloveitchik looked at, and again, these were probably different shiurim. Some were given in Boston, some were given in Shul in the Upper West Side, Moria. Some were written, some were given at RCA conventions, rabbinical gatherings. But Rav Soloveitchik, in a number of different mitzvos in this week's parsha, we find the same theme, and that is the theme of chok. Of chok. Whether it's shatness, whether it's mamzer, whether it's klaim, there are a number of mitzvos in this week's parsha that really defy logic, defy explanation. And Rav Soloveitchik points out that why do we call these mitzvos chukim? What's the lashon of chok? Chakak. Chakak means to carve out. It means to engrave something. And these mitzvos are engraved, they're carved out, like of the stone, because these are mitzvos that they just are. We don't have any explanation, and these are the mitzvos that Gemara tells us in Yuma, Rashi quotes a number of times, that the Umos HaOlam criticize us. What are you doing these stupid things for? Does this make any sense? Why can't you have one and together? What's the big deal? Right? What is this idea that this kid didn't do anything? It was his mother, father, whatever, that made a mistake, and now this person can't marry into the Jewish community. How could this be? How could this be? And the Rav says that this is the idea of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, that when we accept upon ourselves the all of mitzvahs, the yoke of mitzvahs, it means there are times that mitzvahs don't make sense. And he says that we have to be sure to understand that our observance of mitzvahs doesn't change based upon changing philosophies, doesn't change based upon changing ideologies in the world around us. And there's much that we have to take from the world around us, as much wisdom that we can grow from, but we have to understand that when it comes to obedience of mitzvahs, when it comes to shmiras mitzvahs, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's why we do. That's really what, that's all it comes down to. That's what it is. We do it because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, and the Rambam, whereas in the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, the Rambam has, in fact, many Tamei mitzvahs, and we're going to talk about some tonight. Because the Rav says, so why does the Rambam even engage in this? Why did Chazal, there are Gemaras that try to explain the reasons for mitzvahs. We'll get to that. But we know that the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah itself, in his halachic work, his legal work, he says that, you know why we observe mitzvahs? Because they are Tzivui HaMelech, because they are the commandments of the king. And that's why we do them. And of course, you know, I think this is an appropriate theme for us to really think about and to struggle with. Anyone who doesn't struggle with any mitzvos, I think that person is not a thinking person. I don't know how any person today can't struggle with certain mitzvos. And I'm not saying, chas v'shalom, not reject, but we should struggle with them. It's Kabbalah, it's all. We have to accept a yoke on ourselves. And Rav Soloveitchik says it means that we struggle with it, and at times it feels like it's a burden. And we have these things that don't sit well with us. But ultimately, as the Rambam says, it's Tzivui HaMelech. And we know that Rosh Hashanah is all about what? Hashem Elokim, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Vaed. Hashem was king, Hashem is king, and Hashem will always be king. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is not Tshuva. We've said this so many times in Drashus and Shirim before. We've learned this together many, many times. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is not tshuva. Not once do we klap al chet. Not once do we klap ashavnu. What is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Kabbalas ol Malchus Shamayim. Rosh Hashanah is when we say, Hashem, you're the king. You say jump, I say how high. That's it. That's what Rosh Hashanah is, Kabbalas ol Malchus Shamayim. And in Kabbalas ol Malchus Shamayim, linked into Kabbalas ol Malchus Shamayim is, of course, what? Kabbalas ol Mitzvos. That's why, right after Shema, V'ahavta, we have what? V'hayim Shemoa. The first paragraph is Kabbalas ol Malchus Shamayim. The second paragraph, V'hayim Shemoa, is Kabbalas ol Mitzvos. And we, as we said from Rev Schwab a number of weeks ago, in Parshas Re'eh, when the second section of Shema comes up, in Akev, when the second section of Shema comes up at the end of the Parsha, V'hayim Shema Tishmu El Mitzvosai, that Rav Schwab says, you know why you listen to the mitzvos? Because they're mitzvosai, they're Hashem's commandments. That's why you listen to them. That's why we do them. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik said time and time again. But it doesn't mean that we don't look for lessons from mitzvos. It doesn't mean that we only go in pious obedience, the Rav writes. But of course, we're supposed to find, you know, meaning that we can connect to, because in that way, the experience of Shmiras HaMitzvos becomes more emotionally rewarding, right? If it's just as an Eved, just saying, this is what my master wants, this is what the king wants, this is what I do. So to a degree, that's difficult to develop the Ahavas Hashem, obviously, the Ahavas Hashem is a much broader discussion. We've had many shiurim about that Shavuos night, and other times we've spoken about how to come to Ahavas Hashem, the avodah of brachos and other things. But the idea that when we come to mitzvos, to be able to see that there's a tam to the mitzvos, that there's a taste to the mitzvos, and in that way, it makes mitzvos more rewarding, and it makes shmiras mitzvos something that we can connect to emotionally, Rav Soloveitchik says. And that's why the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim at length tries to explain different mitzvos. And that's why the Ramban does it in this Perush Al HaTorah. And that's why Chazal do it. There are many Gemaras that try to explain certain mitzvos. And one of the classic ones, though, that highlights the danger is Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Vav. Because in Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Vav, in Kiseitse, we come to a mitzvah. By the way, just one pet peeve about this mitzvah. We'll talk about one pet peeve I have about this mitzvah. I know this is going to sound wild. I'm already saying I have a pet peeve. Not a pet peeve about a mitzvah, chas shalom. A pet peeve about people's observance of mitzvahs. A pet peeve that people latch onto this mitzvah, shiluach hakein. There's a guy, you can call him up, you pay him, and he'll find like a bird that you can send away to, right? So first of all, do you know according to Chazon Ish, it's usher to do shiluach hakein if you don't need the eggs? It's usher to send away a mother bird and lift the eggs and put them back, because Pashas says, once you touch those eggs, the mother's not going to really sit on them again. Those babies are not going to live. And sending away the mother bird, the Chazon Ish says it's usher, it's tzar balechai. If you have no reason for those eggs, what are you doing it for? So that's one halachic issue, not Pasha. People have asked me about it. Oh, there's a bird. I say, ask someone else. If you want to do this, ask someone else. I'm not so convinced. But second of all, you know, everyone, why do they want to do shiluach hakein? Why do they want to send away the bird? Long life, segula for long life. The pasuk says, "Laman yitav lach v'arachta yam." Let's look at Rashi together, page 1050. Let's look at Rashi and this pasuk together. Laman yitav lach. Rashi says, right column, a little bit past, like 2/3 of the way down, mitzvah pasuk zayin, in mitzvah kala she'en b'chisar and kiss amra tar laman yitav lach v'arachta yamim. If a very light mitzvah that you fulfill very easily, that you don't have to, meaning physically not strenuous, it doesn't have great financial cost, the Torah says it's going to be good for you and you're going to have a length of days, kal v'chomer lematan tzar scharen shel mitzvah chamuros, then kal v'chomer what the reward is going to be for the hard mitzvahs. So that's why, you know what I tell people, you want to go throw away a mother bird to take the eggs. You don't really need them. Put them back. possibly be over in Isra Daraisa, according to Chazon Ish, you know what? Don't speak Lashon Hara for today. I guarantee you, you'll have greater Zechusim, greater Arichas Yom from not speaking Lashon Hara than, but you know, whatever, that's a socialization of mitzvahs. Okay, so that's my little pet peeve. Not with the mitzvah Chas V'Shalom, but do you know there's a major Machlokas Rishonim, classic Rambam, about why we have this mitzvah? And again, this is, as Rav Salvechik says, this is a little bit of the danger when you get into mitzvahs. Like, what is the reason for mitzvahs? You know, I've heard people explain that the reason why you can't wear leather on Yom Kippur is because, you know, one day a year, you know, we want to be totally vegan. Like, my belt's laid out of leather. My belt's leather belt. You could wear a leather suit, you know? And that would, okay, I know. Who wears leather suits? I don't know. I'm not going to call anyone out, but suede's leather,
right?
Oh, the things you learn.
Oh, okay,
great. The things I learned in this year. Thank you. Right. So, okay, great. So, right. That's what she just said. So I'm saying, no. It has nothing to do with that. It has something to do with something else, right? So that's why there's a little bit of a danger. And what's interesting is the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, he says that the reason for Shiluach HaKein is to have compassion on the mother bird. You send the mother bird away. The problem, the Ramban, and many attack the Rambam, there's a Mishnah Mefereshes in the fifth parak of Maseches Brachos, Mishnah Gimel, that says, a chazan who says, Al kan tzipor yagi rachamecha, yedzin like a piyot, that even to the nest of the bird your mercy reaches, mishatkin oso. You throw the guy, you put out the cane and yank him off the bima. He's not allowed to be chazan anymore. Because that's like heresy. What does it mean, though? Isn't the Rambam saying that's the reason for the mitzvah? So Rav Salvechik says that, no, as a representative of a tzibur, to make such a definite declaration that this is the reason of a mitzvah, that's inappropriate, the Rav says. That's what the Mishnah in Brachos means. The lesson, though, according to the Rambam, is a lesson about compassion to animals. You know, again, the Mishnah in Brachos has to be read a little bit innovatively. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban says, Rambam, if you talk about compassion to animals, then let's be honest. If it's really about compassion to animals, then we should all be what? We should all be vegans. We should all be pita. With an E, not an I, right? Why are you allowed to kill an animal then? He says to the Rambam, if you really have compassion on the bird, don't kill a bird, right? Don't check the chicken. If you really have rachm, if you really have rachmanis, if that's what it's about. But the Ramban says that no, the purpose of all mitzvahs is to transform the human being, is that it's supposed to have an effect on us. It's supposed to change us. And the Ramban writes that when people hunt, and even when people are shochtim, it could create a certain callousness to pain. It creates a certain shallowness vis-a-vis the feelings of others. And yes, even though we're not commanded, I mean, there is an Isser Daraisa, many assume an Isser Daraisa of Tzar Belechayim. And again, not causing an animal unnecessary pain. But again, is that a din in the animal? And if you're brisker, is it a din in the animal or is it a din in the person? How it affects you? Meaning, you know, the FBI profiler, someone sort of a book about it. Like one of the early warning signs of like a serial killer is like tortures little animals. If a person that goes around torturing little animals, that person needs to seek serious psychiatric help right away. That's not a healthy thing, torturing little animals. We're not talking about a person that, you know, whatever, does some whatever to a spider. Whatever, you know, we're talking about a person like Keseder exhibits that behavior. And that's what the point the Ramban's making. That when the Torah has all these mitzvahs, and there's so many mitzvahs in this parsha, that have to do with an animal. Do you know why you can't plow with an ox and a horse together, according to some? Because it's not fair to the horse. The ox is such a stronger animal, and the horse to keep up with it. I mean, it's fascinating. The Tamei HaMitzvos, that the lessons that can be learned. As the Rav Salvechik says, we can't say why we have a mitzvah. We can't say why there's a mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. But we can say, what lesson can I learn from this mitzvah? What can I take from this mitzvah? And in that way, we have to look at mitzvahs and we have to take these lessons from the mitzvahs. For example, There's another mitzvah right after Shiluach HaKein. Literally, right after. Pasuk Ches, Ki Sivne Ba'is Chadosh Vasisa Ma'ke L'Gagecha. V'lo Sosim Damim V'Vesecha Kipal Anofel Mimenu. The idea that when a person has a roof that people will be walking on, you have to put up a ma'ke. You have to put up a railing. Sometimes people's porches in the front of the house are high enough that they need halachically a ma'ke. You have to make sure that you have a railing on the sides of a porch in front of the house, certainly in the back of the house, even if you have a step certain height, how many tvachim high, you have to make sure that you have then a fence. And according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah, there's a bracha. Sherke the Shanu Mitzvah Svano, Lasias Maka, Lasas Maka, whatever the Lashon is. I've never made the bracha. I've never put up a Maka on top of a roof. I never had a roof that, you know, you walked on. Anyone here have a roof you walk on? I don't have a roof I walk on. Right, and maybe, you know, apartment buildings have, right, or apartment buildings, something like that, right, you know, something like that, so maybe you'd have to put up a, you know, I think if you have a porch, the railing has to be, so Rav Soloveitchik says, again, what lesson do we take from this? And Rav Soloveitchik says a fascinating lesson, and he says that this mitzvah, and there are a few mitzvahs like this, the Rav said, that it's supposed to create an acute awareness of the vulnerability of human beings. That we're supposed to be aware of how vulnerable we are. And he says that it's an ethical and halachic virtue to be aware of our vulnerability. Why? How could that be good to be aware of how vulnerable you are? Because it creates a sense of humility. When a person recognizes the frailty of a human being, physically and spiritually, Rav Soloveitchik says, physically, you have to have this makkah. Spiritually, what do we say in the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Not Shlosh Dvar Ma'olom Ameh. That's Mishnah Beis, right? What's the first Mishnah? Right? Who are you? Who are Mishari Knesset Gedola? No, Hey Mamr Shlosh Dvar. Have you Misunim Badin? V'amidu Talmidim Harbei? V'asus Yagla Torah. You have to make a makkah for the Torah, meaning because we're also very vulnerable spiritually. We're vulnerable spiritually to influences around us, which is the next point we're going to talk about, because there are two mitzvahs in this week's parasha where the Rav spoke about this. But this idea, Ki Sivne Ba'is Chadosh, Rav Soloveitchik says, it's teaching us. This mitzvah is supposed to highlight, it's supposed to bring home the point to you that you're building a house, oh, beautiful house, geschmack, and you feel good about it, and you feel, oh, look at what I've, look, Ki Sivne Ba'is Chadosh, right, you're building a new house. Put up a fence on that roof to remind you that you aren't all that. It's supposed to bring you down a few notches, according to Rav Soloveitchik. That's the purpose of this makkah. That's the purpose of this fence. And he says that, you know, let's be honest, you know, this is something that Rav Soloveitchik speaks about, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his brother, also had a whole essay about that tefillah is an exercise in vulnerability of man, right? You ever have the feeling, why do I have to say Rifa'enu every day if I'm not sick? Is it always about davening for someone else? Right? Why do you have to say Rifa'enu every day? Why do I have to say Baruch Aleinu for Pranas every day? Why do I have to say this bracha for intelligence? Why do I need all these different brachas every day? And the answer is, Rav Soloveitchik talks about it more existentially, but Rav Aaron Soloveitchik talks about it in a very physical way, that your human existence in a moment. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, suffered multiple debilitating strokes. That's when he got a television, when after his first stroke, that part of his therapy, they said he had to laugh. Make sense, therapist here? That the part of his therapy is that he needs to laugh. So they got him a television and a video record, like a VCR, and they were playing, like, what gets Rav Aaron Soloveitchik to laugh? Like Three Stooges videos. I like to try and get him to laugh. But, you know, he had an essay, Reflections from a Hospital Dungeon. Not that the hospital is necessarily a dungeon, but the dungeon of his body, that he couldn't feel the left side of his body. He felt like he was, that part of him was trapped in a physical shell. And he talks about how, you know, it came out of nowhere. You know, when we talk about Rahman al-Islam, I mean, unfortunately today, I don't think a week doesn't go by that you don't hear horrible tzaras, horrible, horrible tzaras. You know, Leah just told me earlier today of Rabbi Pentinak, a professor from Stern's daughter-in-law, teacher in Hafter. Just, I don't know what happened, but they're sending around a link for. Did anyone know her? I know, like crazy, mom's crazy. You know, and so Rav Soloveitchik says, Kisivna bayis chadash vasisa makil gagecha, the dafka, when a person's feeling all powerful, oh, look at this bayis chadash vasisa makil gagecha. Make a makah for your home. Make a makah for that roof. Understand that you're vulnerable. Bring that humility back to you. And Rav Soloveitchik said that this idea of recognizing humility and recognizing our true role, we're going to relate it to two other things also in this week's parsha. Let's go to the one that I find more astounding, more mind blowing. It's Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Tes. Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Tes. No, not Pasuk. Yes, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes. Page 1060, 1061. And this is, of course, one of the Sheish Zechiros. Zachar, Eis, Asher, Asa, Adonai, Elach, Miriam, Baterach, Betzeischem, Mitzrayim. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the way out of Egypt, right? And we know there's another one of the Sheish Zechiros, the six things you're supposed to remember according to the Kabbalah, every day to say them at the end of the parasha. Zachar, Eis, Asher, Asa, Lecha, Molech, Baterach, Betzeischem, Mitzrayim, right? So Rav Soloveitchik asks a simple question. Why do we have to remember what happened to Miriam? And everyone says, what's the answer? Why do you have to remember what happened to Miriam? Come on, no? Okay, no one wants to say it's late at night, we're tired, no one wants to go out on a limb. The reason is because it shows you how bad Lashon Hara is. And in fact, you look at the Pasuk right before. What is the Pasuk right before it? What's the Pasuk right before it? Pasuk Ches in Chav Dalet. Hishamer v'negat Saras. Oh, you see? It's talking about Saras. Saras, Gemar and Erechin, punishment for Lashon Hara. One of the things. There are other things also. But the main thing that we always talk about is Lashon Hara. Oh, so right after, remember what Hashem did to Miriam. And it makes sense. Rav Soloveitchik says, but what are the other Sheish Zechiros? Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? Remember Amalek? Remember the enemies? They're enemies of the Jewish people that want to do us in. And as Menachem Begin, Zichron Levracha, said, you know, the lesson of the Holocaust is when our enemies tell us they're going to destroy us, believe them. Right? That's what Menachem Begin said is one of the lessons of the Holocaust. Believe your enemies when they say they're going to destroy you. Remember the enemies, they're physical enemies. We have to remember the Egel. Remember spiritual dangers. The integrity of our faith, Rav Soloveitchik said. What else do we have to remember? Shabbos, creation. We have to remember Mamet Har Sinai, revelation. And the sixth thing is Lashon Hara. Rav Soloveitchik says, really? Like, I get it, Lashon Hara is bad. Lashon Hara is really, really bad. You know, Tisha B'Av was a couple of weeks already, right? We're not, no, Chas V'Shalom. Of course it's bad, and we don't speak Lashon Hara. We spoke last week about being Dan L'Katzchus, looking for the good, and learning how to see good in other people, which is maybe what we should learn this year. B'chlau, we have that Hava Mina, not to do Parsha this year, to take that Sefer Rav Tzvi Meir and to just learn it together. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. But the Rav says he thinks that there's something else that's going on here. Zachar Eis Asher Asa Adonai Elohecha L'Mirim Baderech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim. Why does it say Baderech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim in the Pasuk? Why does it say when you were leaving Egypt? Did that happen right after they left Egypt? No. That happened later. So what's Pshat? That happened right before the Meraglim, right? No? Yeah, Shlach, right after. So what's Pshat here? So Rav Soloveitchik says he thinks that there's something else. You know what Hashem wants us to remember about what he did to Miriam? Remember what he did to Miriam because remember what Miriam was speaking about and against. What was Miriam speaking against? About her brother, Moshe. She knew he was greater than all other Nevi'im. What she didn't know was that he was qualitatively in a different league than all other Nevi'im. Or if Soloveitchik said is that Miriam failed to appreciate the uniqueness, the segula property of Moshe, her brother, as a Navi. He was totally off the charts. And that's why Baderech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim, the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim only happened because Hashem had the kli, had this vessel called Moshe Rabbeinu, to go into Paro, to go into Klal Yisrael, to speak his mind. And so that remember what Hashem did to Miriam means remember the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And why is that so significant? Why is that one of the six things we have to remember every day? Because Moshe emes tereso emes. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? Moshe Dorim, they have the Sheish Zechirus, and right after the Yud Gimel Ikarim, one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim is to believe in the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, and that there was no one like him before, no one after him, and he brought us a Torah, that not one word has changed from Torah's Moshe. And so when we talk about remembering what Hashem did to Miriam, Rav Soloveitchik suggesting something a little bit different. Yes, of course, we have to remember the danger of speaking Lashon Hara, and Chas V'Shalom, we should ever speak Lashon Hara. No one here should ever speak Lashon Hara. That's my bracha to you for the new year. You should be able to hold back and not speak Lashon Hara the whole year. Right? You're thinking a whole hour, right? You're thinking a whole year. Well, you got to believe in yourself. You don't even know how holy you are. You don't know how great you are. Right? That's next week's parsha. That's Kisavo. Right? Vidli Meiser, remember in your greatness. Don't only confess to your sins, confess how great you are. But Rav Soloveitchik said that the remembering what Hashem did to Miriam is something a little bit different. It's about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Amitas HaTorah. It's about the truth of Torah. And as Rav Soloveitchik said, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the epoch, it doesn't matter the ideology, it doesn't matter the philosophy. Lo tehei Torah muchlefes. Torah never changes. Torah is never exchanged for another Torah. And Rav Soloveitchik said, in different drushas relating to the mitzvah of Yifas Torah in the beginning of this week's parasha, and the mitzvah of Kelayim in Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Tes, right after the Kansipor, right after Shiluach HaKein and Mitzvah of Makez, the Mitzvah of Losizra, Karmicha Kelayim, and the beginning of Yifas Torah, Soloveitchik said that there's no question. He does not believe that the Torah forbids us to learn from to take positives from the nations around us. He doesn't believe that it's forbidden. And Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, there's wisdom amongst the nations of the world. But we have to know really very carefully what are we taking. Because on the one hand, Rav Soloveitchik said, the Jews were farmers, shepherds before they went to Egypt. The Rav makes the claim that it was in Egypt where they saw the pyramids, where they saw architecture, where they saw brilliant technicians, that Bezalel learned how to build a Mishkan, which is a fascinating idea from the Rav. He said, and the Jews took from Egypt, took the science of Egypt to learn how to build, to learn how to create. They didn't have this naturally, he said. This wasn't what they did for generations. They were farmers. They were shepherds. They weren't building these massive structures. Moshe, you know, Yaakov Avinu was building huts. But he said, but yet the Torah warns us in Vayikra, be careful, don't do the abominations that they did in Egypt. So what does that mean? He says, it means you have to understand the process of taking, but at the same time rejecting. And he says, that's the beginning of the parsha with Yifas Torah. Yifas Torah, he said, is not only about this beautiful woman that the soldier sees during war, but it's a much broader idea, Rav Soloveitchik said, about Yifas Torah, the beauty of the Torah, the image, that when we look at the world outside of us, what do we see? We see an allure, we see beauty, we see these things that look so exciting and draw our attention. And our Soloveitchik says, why are they drawing our attention? What are we being pulled to? You know, and it's something that, you know, my kids are just tired of hearing from me. But so I'll say it to you. I can't say it to my kids. You know, how many times I said to them, they know the speech already. I'll share it with you. But it's what Tehillim we're saying every day, twice a day, in the month of Elul. When David HaMelech says, "Acha shaltim es Hashem osa avake shivti ves Hashem kol yimecha ye lachsos benom Hashem ulvake becholo." There's one thing that's supposed to guide us in all decisions we make in life. There's only one thing that we should ask, that we should be being mevakesh, seeking. Not this image we saw in a magazine, not, you know, this image that's being sold to us by Madison Avenue or by Mishpacha magazine, by their ads, and by, you know, some of those ads are obscene. not pritzus in like, oh my gosh, mir seinayim, but pritzus in a different way. It's like the food. I'm gonna get myself in trouble here. You know, maybe I won't post one on my Torah. But you know, like this foodie culture of like, you know, and I love you, DC. I'm not saying that's bad. And Shlomo Zalman knows. I've had this discussion with him many times. And Shlomo Zalman, I'm gonna send you this year. You tell me what you think. But the foodie culture of like dressing up pieces of meats for these ads, like what? Really? I told you the Maisa, one of the Maisa, great biography that Rabbi David Tzukenik Shlita bought me as a gift from after we learned this summer, Rav Belsky's biography, the Roshiva Torah Vadas, who was in the rehab, West Orange, was in Kessler for a number of months, and Joe was close to him, came to one of the bar mitzvahs. So he used to learn with, did I tell you this Maisa? No, I told somewhere else that he used to learn with a certain Talmud every Thursday night in the Talmud's house. And the Talmud said there was one question he used to ask the Rosh Hashiva that it was the only time he ever mamish used to stump him. Remember I told you? No, I said it. Are you milchiks or fleishiks? The story is still reverberating with me. And that the Rebelsky would sit there and be like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm milchiks or fleishiks. I have no idea what he was. I don't know. Because like, what? Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy our food. We should. We should. And going to restaurants, I don't think going to a restaurant is a bad thing. But this making food into this like massive thing, and you know, I publicly confess, we get Food Network magazine to my house, but like it's obscene to me. It's obscene. Like really, what this? I'm not saying you shouldn't get Food Network magazine. I'm just saying like anyone gets it here. So does my wife. Maybe I won't send her this year. But, you know, but I just think, like, what are we going for? What? Acha sha'altim es Hashem osavakei. Shav Salvechik says, there's the Yifas Torah. There are all these beautiful images out there. And you say, I love this. I love this. Yeah? Shave off all the head. Grow the fingernails. Make them disgusting. You still love it? Really? That's what you love? You sure you love the essence of Pnimis Advarim? It's not the Chitzonius Advarim? The Pnimis Advarim, a Jew is supposed to go after one thing and one thing alone. All our decisions are based on, is this going to bring me closer to Hashem? Is this going to bring me further away from Hashem, Chas V'Shalom? And that's the Yifas Torah. And Rav Salvechik said, that's what Kelayim, the Isser of Kelayim, it means some things are not meant to go together. Chachma bagoyim tamid. Yes, there's wisdom amongst the non-Jews. Kedusha bagoyim. Salvechik says, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Very careful. I do think there are holy non-Jews. I do think there are very spiritual and holy non-Jews. But that Kedusha is not the Kedusha that we are supposed to learn. That's not our Kedusha. We have a different Kedusha. Kedusha Israel is something else. And okay, we're not going to get to the other ideas. I'm sorry, it's late already. I'm falling asleep. You're all falling asleep. But this idea there of Salvechik said, again, we close with the beginning, that we're not saying that these are the reason of these mitzvahs. But these are some of the lessons. The parsha that has more mitzvahs than any other. You know, there's 74 mitzvahs in one parsha. Shout, what percentage of that is 613? 12%, 14%, you know? Come on, Cheryl, help me out here. Is it 12%? The school didn't start yet. You didn't have a teacher. 12%, okay. I think I one time asked you before you told me. So 12% of all the Torah's mitzvahs, we have to know that we have to make mitzvahs palatable to ourselves. We should look for meaning in mitzvahs. But as Rav Salvechik, be careful when you do that. You have to know that there are limits. You have to know that there are limits. But Hashem should just help us that in this month of El, this is the Hachana, this is what we're preparing ourselves for. We're preparing ourselves to be Mekabel Hashem's Melech, that we can accept Hashem as a king, that we can Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim, can be Mekabel Ol Mitzvahs, but ultimately, Im Kivonim, Im Kavadim is really up to us. Whether we're only going to be like Avadim, or whether we're going to be like children, that really is not the Ribbono Shel'Olam. That's really how we are mityaches to Hashem, how we relate to Hashem. That's how He's going to relate to us. If we believe, relate to Hashem, okay, Hashem, I have to do your mitzvahs, okay, whatever they are, I don't care. Okay, this is what I got to do, this is what I got to do. Hashem says, okay, you're an Eved, and I'll treat you like an Eved. But if you say, Hashem, I want to find beauty in your mitzvahs, Hashem, help me understand your mitzvahs, let them... Psach libi b'sarasecha. Every Shmon Esrei in Elokai Nitzar. Psach libi b'sarasecha. V'mitzvasecha tirdof nafshi. Or Nusach Sfarad. V'achrei mitzvasecha tirdof nafshi. Let me open up my heart to your Torah. Let my soul chase your mitzvahs. Let my soul. When we say that phrase, those phrases in Elokai Nitzar, we should be saying them with real hergish, with real feeling, with real love, with real desire. That Hashem, open my heart. Maybe achashalti is not that. Maybe my achashalti now is to win the Powerball. Hashem, make my achashalti be to be close to you. Make that my achashalti. That's the one thing that I should be mevakish, that I should be seeking, that I should be going after. And this is the month to do it in. This is Yimei Rachamim V'Ratzon. Yimei Rachamim, the days of mercy, but it's also Yimei Ratzon. It's the days when a person can find her Ratzon for Hashem. It's a day when Hashem will give us Ratzon. As a Rebbe of mine, Mendel Blachman, would often say, and there are many others that say, Posech Es Yodecha, right, Tzvardim get very into Posech Es Yodecha. They say you're supposed to open your hands wide, because that way you get a lot of... Get a lot of rotz, a lot of parnasa, but the truth is, Rachman says, "Pasecha sedecha, umaspia l'chol chai." Satisfy every living thing with rotzon. What does that mean? Rabbi Blachman says we're asking Hashem to open His hands and give us the rotzon for Him. That's what pasecha sedecha means. Maspia l'chol chai rotzon. We have a rotzon for Hashem, then Hashem will take care of everything else. And Hashem should just help us that in this month we can find our rotzon. It's the days that Hashem is Rachem, the days that Hashem wants to help us find this Ratzon, and that when we look at this parsha, we see there's so much here to transform us, whether it's our vulnerability, whether it's the uniqueness of our Mesorah, whether it's the difficulty we all have, and everyone has. There's no one today that's immune from the outside world. There's no one that lives in that bubble anymore. Not New Square, not Tosh, no one that doesn't have the exposure to the outside world, and it's not all bad. There's a lot of good, but we have to know how to take and how to discern, and Hashem should just help us find that one thing.